Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 158. You can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode158. Okay, today we are busy today. We got lots of different pieces to put together. I'm telling stories. Craig's going to show up later. We have interviews in not one, but two different states. It's busy, man. Good busy, though. It's active, right? Today we have an active podcast. And today we are talking about The Show Must Go On. If you are in theater, if you have ever been on stage, you have a Show Must Go On story, and we have a bunch for you. So the impetus for this podcast is I was adjudicating a festival a couple of months ago, and one of the shows started, and everything started fine, and then an actor came out, and she was supposed to say one thing, and a completely different thing came out of her mouth. And there was a moment of silence. The actor looked strained. And then she ran off stage. And I've never seen that before. I've never seen someone just be in a moment of such panic that the only thing that they felt they could do is leave. But what happened on stage was amazing, because they just carried on. It was as if this runoff stage was in the script, and people threw in lines that weren't theirs. There was a musician who was supposed to react, and he was right there on cue. And I had read the script, and I knew that there was something awry, and it was obvious that there was something a little bit awkward about what was going on. But it was a play acknowledging the fact that it was a play, so the awkwardness really worked. And even to the point when one of the characters said in character, "I don't know what to do right now," it worked, and they were going to keep going. And soon after that, the student director for the piece came down the aisle from the booth, walked on stage, and said to the audience, "We're starting again." And the actors looked at her and went, "Okay." And they just like went into action, and they got back into their place, and they started over. And you never would have known that there was an issue, even with the girl who ran off stage. She came on and she did her thing, and you never would have known. And I was just so impressed with the ensemble to keep the play going. Not only to keep the play going, but they were going to keep going. They weren't going to stop. The show must go on. And they didn't think to stop or break character. And that, I think, is remarkable. And that, I think, is something that we all want to give to our students. There's a better word. I can't think of it right now. But to emphasize to our students about what The Show Must Go On really means. It's about that community and helping each other. So I'll have my own Show Must Go On story later. It's not pretty, but it's great for oral listening. No video. And now we're going to head over to the Southeastern Theater Conference, where I ask teachers about their Show Must Go On experiences. Let's get to it. All right, I am talking to Trisha Oliver. Hi, Trisha.
Hi.
Okay, and we're talking Show Must Go On stories.
Right. Okay, so as I was developing this program, still fairly new, we did Flowers for Algernon. I thought I would do something very deep, very, you know, thought-provoking for both the audience and the kids who were involved. And so we were doing Flowers for Algernon, and I had a couple of kids who were amazing at improvisation, and I'm very thankful for that, because once we got into, I think it was second or third night of the run of the show, about halfway through one of the scenes, we realized that they had completely skipped a scene. And I was panicking, because at that point, we didn't have microphones and headsets to be able to communicate backstage. That wasn't something that we had gotten into yet. Very small, basic program and still learning. And next thing I know, they had all worked it out themselves. They finished the scene, went back and did the scene that they missed because it wasn't pertinent to telling the story, having the two scenes switched. And then they continued on with the next show. And I sat back in awe of my kids, who completely took care of it themselves because they were so good at improvising. Like, it didn't shock them and it didn't stop them. So having kids who are well prepared, like, made me as a drama mama so proud.
Well, and that means, that tells you something about your leadership, because, you know, it takes a leader to make sure that everybody feels that nothing will shock them and they can take care of things on their own. I think that's a fantastic story.
Thank you. That was awesome.
All right. Kelly Book Brown, tell me your Show Must Go On story.
Okay, so this is a show that I was actually performing in, and we were doing To Kill a Mockingbird. And the whole concept was black and white and gray. So it was kind of like you were watching a black and white movie anyway, and the power went out. Of course, if you're in the theater, there's no windows, there's no light. So we did the whole entire show with spotlights, ran off of a generator from the back of the house, so it looked also like it was, everything was in slow motion and in black and white. So
it's almost like you planned it that
way. It's almost like it was better that way. So sometimes it's pleasant mistakes, I guess.
You know, sometimes that happens.
I know.
Like I know a teacher who, she was in a new school and they had no lights. And new school, new thing. So they did our town, and they did the whole thing with, they did flashlights and fake lanterns. And it was like, everybody said it was beautiful.
Of course. Our town's kind of dark anyway. So it's supposed to be, you know, in her head and the dreams and everything, you know. So yeah. I think that's a beautiful concept.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Matt Webster, what is your Show Must Go On story?
We were doing a show at the University of Hawaii that we wrote called D-Force, and it's five kids going through a video game about surviving divorce. And we had an audience of 700 children in the audience. We were 5 minutes away from the end of the play, and the five characters are supposed to walk to the end of the stage and make a statement. And one of the actors didn't. She stayed in the back of the stage, and we kind of looked over her shoulder to see what was going on. And she did her lines from sitting back there, but she didn't do the blocking. And so we figured something must be wrong. We turned and saw that she had a really pained look on her face, got her off stage, and found out that when she had went to stand up, she had reached her arm behind her and dislocated her shoulder on stage in front of 700 people, and managed to finish the scene and finish the show and left the back of the stage on an ambulance gurney. That is The Show Must Go On.
Mary Claire Millies.
Yes.
Tell me your The Show Must Go On story.
I was working in a theater in New Jersey, just out of New York City, and we were doing All My Sons, very heady drama.
Yeah.
And audience was in their seats, we're ready to start, and the power goes out completely.
Yep.
And the solution was for the theater staff, which I was a member, to get high-powered flashlights and to stand at the edge of the stage and in the wings and light the cast.
So it was basically, must have been just a lot of faces.
A lot of faces. We did manage to at one point get a ladder because there was kind of a dramatic scene where we had a downlight sketch, you know, had already been designed, so we had someone up on a ladder holding a downlight. It was quite a thing. But it was a really great experience because, like, the show goes on and the audience loved it. They love when they feel like they're in on something that,
yeah,
like, exciting, you know?
You know, like, well, it's that whole notion of this is an experience that is never going to happen again. Like,
that's,
you know,
right,
you'll fix the lights and everything, yeah, will go on as proper.
Right.
But they were there,
yeah,
for that moment of theater.
Exactly. And I think they were just so grateful that you kept going. That you weren't like, sorry, go home. You know, we're going to refund your tickets or come another night. That they were part of the excitement of theater. Like, they were there. And they gave a standing ovation. They loved it. They
awesome.
Loved it. It was
awesome.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am talking to Mandy Woodhouse.
Yes.
Tell me your Show Must Go On story.
So a few years ago, we were doing Miracle on 34th Street, and I had a role. I was speaking to Santa Claus, and we were doing it for local schools. And as Santa Claus was coming down, the elastic on his pants actually broke, and his pants fell down. And he luckily had, you know, something on underneath, but flashed everybody. And it was his first time on stage, and it was my first time on stage in about 8 years acting. And we had to hold everything together. If you can imagine 300 children laughing all at once. And it was at a very serious moment in the show. At the same time that that happened, someone backstage saw it happen, laughed, and dropped something, which caused a domino effect of several different things falling behind the stage all at once. And we had to hold it together because it was a critical point. It's the point in the show where she fires Santa Claus. And, I mean, that's a critical point in the show.
Yeah.
We had to hold it together, and we had to improv some things, and I had to help him pull his pants up, and it was interesting.
I like that, though. I think that just tells it's a really good point of when those things happen, if everyone else is laughing, you don't get a free pass to start laughing yourself.
Yes.
You have to stay in character.
Yes.
You have to stay in the moment, and it really would have been detrimental to the whole experience.
Absolutely.
Pants or no pants.
Absolutely.
If you had started laughing.
Absolutely.
I love that. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys. Okay, before we move on to the next bunch of Show Must Go On stories, here is my Show Must Go On story. So, way back, anyone in Canada, you know what that is, way back, I was an actor for about 4 seconds, and I was doing children's theater, and my character was the white whale, a white whale, all in white, head to toe, white. And we had done a show at a school in the morning. In the afternoon, we were doing a show at a retirement home. And after the morning show, I started to feel at unease, let's say. And that unease grew throughout lunch. And that unease became massive discomfort and stomach pain, and was not going anywhere. And we get to the retirement home, and there's a point where I look around and go, all right, if there is not a bathroom in my way in the next 2 seconds, my lunch is going to go all over this floor. So I'm like banging on doors, find the bathroom. There's somebody in there, another cast member. I'm like, get out. Things happen. And I'm like, okay, I just have to get through this show. And it was great because I had a part. So I had one little part, and then I was supposed to, you know, hold things afterwards, set pieces. So I'm like, the focus is grim. I'm just grinning. I'm grinning. I'm grimming. And I get to the part where I'm supposed to do my thing. I do my thing. I look around and go, I bolt because, the other half of whatever I had, which came up as vomit the first time, was taking a different path. Let's say that, taking a different path. And, all of a sudden the white costume was just not white anymore. So I made it to my part. I'm like, okay, I'm very ill. I got to do this. I got to do it. I have to, the show must go on. I got to do my part. And then at the end of the show, I came out, and, when I was supposed to be doing all the other things, the director just stepped in, and she's just like, she's waving a sheet that's supposed to do. It doesn't even the show just went on, no problem. And it was pretty amazing because it's like, you just didn't, you know, when you're in that position, not my position, but their position, it's like, well, we got to make it happen. And so it did. Oh, there's a reason I don't act anymore. Good times. Very good times. Okay, so there's no more of those kinds of stories. And let's hear the Show Must Go On stories from the folks at the Florida Thespian Festival.
All right. Tell us your name and where are you from?
Sue Edgar from Deltona High School.
And so right before we started recording, I heard the words, when the board caught on fire.
Yes.
So tell us your Show Must Go On story.
Opening night for... Midsummer? Yeah, opening night for Midsummer. We go to turn the lights on, and the board goes, no. And all the lights go down. It blew up. Caught fire. We had to shut it down and then do the show. So we stopped it because we were like, what, about 3 minutes into the show or something?
I didn't know it caught fire.
And, yeah, oh yeah. And... we did the entire show with the spotlight.
Awesome.
So the show went on.
The show went on?
We just restarted it and did it with a spotlight. And that was all the lighting and mics and everything that they had was the spotlight.
And someone put the fire out.
Yes, fire went out.
Excellent.
New board got
Came
replaced.
In. But you didn't stop the show? Show went
out. Nope, show went on.
Hello, Ed Mason.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm excellent. All right, tell me your show must go on story.
My show must go on story.
Yes.
Last year we were doing, the name of the show is, give me a second.
Beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep.
A show.
Captain Fantastic was the name of the show.
Perfect.
And the guy who was playing the lead had to, like, punch himself and fall down. Dress rehearsal. We've been doing it for ages. He's been falling right. Dress rehearsal, he overspins, falls, and breaks his collarbone. Oh my God.
Oh, man. That's not even a...
And went on.
Oh, man!
You know, we had to improvise what he was doing. We had to make sure that people gathered more so he didn't have to actually hit himself so he could fall. He did, you know, I threatened, we had a trampoline where the superheroes were supposed to bounce out. I said, you do it, I'll break your other collarbone. But he went on, all three shows, in pain.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, collarbones are like, those are the ones that they're no fooling around. Like,
yeah, and we really didn't know because it didn't break out, it broke down. So as we were sitting there trying to look to feel for the break, you couldn't feel the break. But they went and she said, his mom said, well, we're going to get it checked anyway. And when they found it, it broke down.
Awesome. And still went on.
And still went on.
Show must go on.
That's your show must go on story.
Hey.
Hey, tell me where you, tell me your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Ozzy Quintana from Miami, Florida.
Perfect. And, okay, so you were preparing, your show must go on story. Let me have it.
All right, so we did an original show. We had 3 weeks to actually put the entire show together. And we did a show on Charlie Chaplin, and we lost two actors before the show. We had two actors involved in another show. So, and we had a huge, big effect of a Buster Keaton move where the entire building would fall on someone and they would slip through the window. So we couldn't endanger the lives of our students.
and
we had to figure out a way to get that to work in the short time that we had. And so as we were trying it out and we realized the death rate might go high, we found something that something could actually work for us. And we decided to make the entire facade out of styrofoam. To kind of see for safety reasons. And we decided to go to One Acts. We literally rehearsed in a parking garage because we didn't have any rehearsal time. We had a musical opening at the same time. So we were rehearsing in a parking garage. I was throwing stuff together, and it was a moment, just this clear moment where I was like, it's not quite coming together, but I'm like, we have to move forward with it.
Right.
We threw the thing up. We went up on stage. And as the set piece was falling over the student, all the styrofoam just exploded on stage everywhere because it just struck and blew up everywhere. And it took us extra time just to sweep the stage. We got the show done. It wasn't our best work, but we were able to get it done. But it was the styrofoam explosion that I remember the most.
Well, and it's also the thing of, because it happens in every show, right? You get to that point and you're really like, this isn't going to happen. This is just not going to happen.
You just realize it's not going to be perfect. And, you know, you want it to be perfect. You know?
And that you still should go forward.
Like, right.
You're not going to junk everything. You're going to figure it out.
It was the moment for them. It was the experience of having to put this work on in the first place. And that's probably what, for them, it was the greatest moment for us. So,
awesome. Cool. Thank you.
All right.
I'm talking to Mark Marple. Tell me your show must go on story.
Okay. I was doing Charlie in Flowers for Algernon. And there's a scene where my sister is coming at me with a knife. And I went to reach for the door. And the whole set piece fell down, the whole flat with the door and everything fell on top of me. And so everybody was really quiet. And I opened the door and came out, finished the scene, and walked off, standing ovation.
Awesome. Of course. Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kendra Blasey, New Smyrna Beach High School.
And what is your show must go on story?
Back about 10 years ago, we were doing a production of Into the Woods, and opening night, one of our gals on stage crew had her father pass away unexpectedly.
Oh, man.
And I told her, of course, that she did not have to be there for the run of the show, and her reaction, she looked at me and said, but I want to be here. If I'm at home, all I'm going to be doing is sitting there with my mom and brother crying, and that's not going to help anything. It's not going to bring him back. Can I please do the show? And I left it up to her and her parents. And I said, absolutely, if this is where you want to be, come on down. And 10 years later, she contacted me just a few weeks ago and said that it was the best choice she ever made because it was a real therapeutic process for her to still have a place to go, and it was definitely the show must go on for her.
You know what? Because a lot of these, we're asking this question, you know, there's always a funny story. There's always a set falling down story. There's a, you know, costume awry story. But the show must go on has a lot to do with internal stuff, too.
Absolutely.
And how sometimes the theater is a home.
It is.
And how it can, it's really helpful for these kids, you know, for high school students, that we think of theater as a home for them.
It gives them a place to go when sometimes they don't have other places. And in this case, she didn't want to be at her actual house because of the memories that were tied to it. So it gave her a place to go outside of there.
Ah, I love that story. Thank you, Kendra.
Thank you.
Thank you to my Florida folks. I just love Kendra's story. It is a great lesson that when we say the show must go on, it's not always what's happening on stage. Okay, I have two more stories to share. Claire Broom had so many things go awry before the show went on that it was actually amazing that the show went on. And last but never least, my theater folk cohort in crime, Craig Mason, spent 15 years as a professional actor, and he actually has a when the show shouldn't go on story. Here's Claire and Craig.
Okay, so I am here talking to teacher Claire Broom. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
And recently you directed two of my shows, Sensor Bleep and Stroke Static.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think that you don't just have a show must go on story, but it's like a show must go on and on and on. And are we going to stop? No, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. So what was the first thing that happened with your productions?
Well, the first thing that happened was we had a student who ended up with a concussion, and her memory took a very, very long time to come back. So we ended up deciding to go with one of our understudies. The irony was the year before we thought, oh, maybe we should start working with understudies. And I'm so glad that we did that because in both shows, we had to replace actors and understudies were so necessary. However, that wasn't even enough this time around.
Okay, so one concussion. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing to befell one of your actors?
So the next thing was we had a student who moved unexpectedly, and this was the second actor that we had put in this role. It was a play that we had worked on in class, and the original actor decided that he didn't want to be part of the show, so we had recasted, and then he moved 3 weeks before the show opened. So we had to make a very quick decision about finding a student who could do that role. And we were very lucky to find one who did it so well. So we were very lucky.
But it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
And the next thing that happened was?
We had another student who got very sick and was scheduled to have surgery and so wasn't going to be able to do the show. So then what we ended up doing was taking a student that we were using sort of as a minor character in Stroke Static, and we made him a major character 3 weeks before the show.
Now, I don't think I knew that one because there's still another one, isn't there?
Well, there's that one. And
there's the wheelchair.
Oh, right. I forgot because this we had a student who played a minor role in Stroke Static and then a bigger role in Sensor Bleep, and we had to put her in a wheelchair because 2 weeks before the show, she blew out her knee. So we had to reblock a whole bunch of scenes and we had to figure out what we could do. This was, that was huge for us, actually. It kind of felt like at that point the theater gods were telling us we needed to stop. But we thought this was a really good lesson in resiliency for our students. So we kept going.
Yeah. And I think that is what these stories, I think they're really important to show, is that you do make a choice, right? You mm-hmm. make a choice whether you're going to go on or not. And what did this teach? What did this teach your students?
For our students, one of the biggest things was to trust each other in their process. one of the students who ended up filling in for a major character in Stroke Static, he had 3 weeks, and within a week he had his lines down. And then it was almost like a half a week later, he all of a sudden had this character, and it was a gorgeous character. You never would have known that he had to throw this together so quickly. And it was interesting because the student who played Russ, he, as much as he put on a brave face, he was terrified. And 2 days before we opened, we sat with the cast and we talked about just how proud we were that they were so resilient and they were able to keep going. And the student who was playing Russ said to the student who ended up filling in, he was terrified and he was shocked. And the fact this student kind of pulled everything together so quickly, it just put him at ease. And so he felt that they were putting on the best show that they ever could have put on, and they did. It was an incredible performance in the end. And it's funny because I think things could have gone really badly, and they didn't. We were so lucky. And in Censor Bleep, same thing. We had a student who, he took a lot longer to memorize his lines. I think it was almost our second last rehearsal that he actually had everything down. And so you were sort of sitting at the back of the caf, because that's what we have as a cafetorium. And I watched him, and the whole time I just kept thinking, please remember your lines, please remember your lines, please remember your lines. And he did a fantastic job. I think one of the things that's so tough from a drama teacher's point of view is choosing whether or not the risk of failure is worth it. And I think that's a really tough decision to make because these are kids who are going up on stage and it's their reputation. And as much as, you know, your name is attached to a product, it's really them who's putting everything on the line. And if you can trust your students and you can trust their process, that's fantastic. I will tell a really quick story where I did have a group of students who, they were great right up to opening night, and the night that we opened, they all suddenly got the biggest case of stage fright. And I was really lucky that we were in a festival format, so if we did shut down a show, the audience had somewhere to go to. And they just lost it. So we sat with the cast and talked a lot about ways to relax and meditate and what did you learn from this. And I think it was a very positive process for them. One of the things I did for that cast was I showed a professional performance I had on film where I totally lost my lines and it was obvious and it was terrible. And I said, the best part is that you did it in high school and not when you were being paid as a professional. And I think one of the things is our society is so quick to try and save kids, sometimes giving them that lesson in things get tough and how do you get around it is so important. So in both cases, they were very positive experiences.
Oh, that is so awesome. I think these are my favorite stories, is the stories where the students persevere on their own, and that we didn't save them and they saved themselves.
That's true. And the show went on.
And the show went on. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we have everybody telling the show must go on stories for this podcast. Hello, Craig Mason.
Hello, Lindsay Price.
So I think for your show must go on story, I was actually there in the audience.
I'm trying to remember. I think you were there.
I seem to recall the audience response.
It was one of those shows where if you were there, you would remember it. So I'm going to say that you do remember it and you were there.
Awesome. What is your show must go on story?
I was doing a play called Last of the Red Hot Lovers in a summer theater. And the theater was originally built as a curling rink. So it was this big cavernous barn. And in the summertime, I was doing summer theater. It was also home to wildlife, and not the least of which was bats. And pretty much all theaters get bats at some point or another. So this is a bat story. So it was a two-person scene. We were in the middle of the scene. We were getting close to closing night. So thankfully we were very comfortable with each other by this point. And out of the corner of my eye, I sense a disturbance in the force. I sense some kind of movement that I hadn't been familiar with before. And, you know, animals come and go, and, you know, sometimes the bat appears and it disappears just as quickly as it comes. And so we just kept sauntering on with the show, but then the bat became bolder and bolder and bolder.
And also, because it wasn't just you guys who were dealing with the bat. This theater was in the round, so everybody was dealing with the bat as the bat started to dive bomb.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of the scene, working it, and the bat starts taking, passes at us. And we let it go for a little bit, and then after a certain point, the audience was right out of the show.
I think you stopped the show.
Yes. That's where I'm going.
Totally. I forgot. Okay.
So what you're supposed to do in situations like that is just, you know, ignore it. But it had gotten so bad, and the bat was also dive bombing the audience too. So at a certain point, the audience was right out of the show, and there really was no point in continuing with the scene, because we were about to enter a really emotional section of the scene. And so we needed to address the bat before we moved on with the play. Otherwise, you know, the show must go on, but you also must try and preserve the integrity of the show somehow. So luckily we were still in the quote unquote funny part of the scene, and I just dead stopped and said, "I swear this is not part of the show," which was great because the audience loved it. They, you know, laughed and applauded. And what we did was we just took a, you know, short 1 or 2 minute break while it was the artistic director was actually in the audience, and he came and got rid of the bat. So, and then we came back in and, you know, picked up a couple lines before we stopped and went on and finished the show.
You know, I think that's an excellent point, because we've had, you know, stories where they kept going. We've had stories where people have, you know, taken different tacks to things. But sometimes I really like the way you put that you have to preserve the integrity of the show.
Yeah, at some point it comes down to a judgment call. You know, we knew the show well enough, we could have gotten through it, but, you know, there's also the aspect of the audience's experience. And, you know, at a certain point, you know, if the set falls down, at a certain point you need to stop and put the set back. I mean, depending on what's coming up.
And I seem to remember, like, there was, like, everyone went, "Whoa! Whoa! Well," so there was no one was paying attention to you.
No. So that's a good thing to say, is sometimes you actually do have to stop the show. Just temporarily to deal with whatever the issue is and then move on. And you know what? The audience loves it, and everyone in that audience, except for Lindsay Price, clearly remembers having attended that show that evening. And it's just one of those, you know, unique experiences that we can only have in the theater. I mean, that's why I love theater. Every single time you see a show, it's a completely unique performance. And, you know, usually the shows aren't that varied, but it's always a unique experience and interaction between the artist and the audience.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig. Thank you, Craig. Thank you all. It was a lot of fun recording these stories, and I hope they were fun to listen to as well. You know, theater doesn't always go perfectly. I think that's half the reason we go to the theater, right? It's live, and everyone on stage and off stage and in the audience, we are all human. So that means that human things will happen, and something at some point will go awry. And it's also a great lesson in community and commitment. What do your students do when things go awry? Do they turn inward and just go, "Oh, it's not my job. I'm not going to do it. It's somebody else's line. I'm not saying anything. It's somebody else's line." Or do they help each other out? Do they work together to keep that show going on? Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. So this is already long, so I'm just going to give a little shout out here to this podcast. I love recording it, and I love having the opportunity to share it, and I love hearing from you when you tell me how much you listen to it. And we're 158 episodes strong, so head on over to the main page of the podcast at theaterfolk.com/podcast and check out some of our other wonderful oral listenings or podcasts. I'm not sure why I changed the name there. 2016 has been a great year of interviews so far, and I can't wait for you to hear what's coming next. I'll put the link to the podcast in the show notes, theaterfolk.com/158. Finally, oh no, that was not good. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.